basını ısırmaya basit durmak gitmiş. Fut. Ve burada da bu da ne? Adam knew very well, but he went ahead and did it. So because both of them did not listen to the word of God, but listened for the wife, they fell out of grace. They fell from the presence of God. God drove them out of the garden, where it was perfect, everything was peaceful, they had everything, God drove them out. God did not also visit them like he used to do. So what did you expect? The Bible tells us that where there is confusion and strife, there is all manner of evil.
Yes.
And that was why it was easy for Cain to be born and begin to, envy his brother and murder his brother. Whenever I think of that situation, it pains me deeply. That even at the beginning of life, blood was shed in this type of gruesome manner. But that was it because the woman and the man did not listen to the voice of God. And I just want to say this very clearly here. If the man and the woman in your home will listen always to the voice of God in every matter, there will be no crisis. Amen.
Amen.
That is it. We thank God because Jesus didn't leave us in this condition. Jesus came and restored God's presence in our hearts. And now we must learn his ways to know the peace and harmony in our marriage. Praise the Lord. Again, it was God's doing to give us a chance to be happy and to live, happy and fulfilled lives. So how do we avoid crisis? We must make some choices at the beginning of our marriage. While we are talking about to get married, we should be able to sit down and honestly talk to each other. Right? Because so many things are preventable. Alright? So many things are preventable. We must make some choices at the beginning of our marriage. Fundamental choices like, accepting each other unconditionally. Right?
Yes.
Deliberate decision to learn to understand your spouse is so essential. Whatever happens, once you have said, I do, you need to accept the total package of your spouse. Both the things that make you smile and the things that you are not too happy about. That is the person. And happy are you to know and understand that no man is perfect. Alright? But it is possible to accommodate one another and to love unconditionally. What is love? Kind deeds. Kind words. Just be kind to the person. So, no matter how your spouse behaves or is, just know that you have been called to be kind to that person. That is why you can like, you may not like somebody, but you can love that person. Because you may not like somebody, but you can love that person. You can be good to that person. If you have a neighbor that is a drunkard, that comes home drunk every day and sleeps by the gate and you are coming in, will you leave the neighbor at the gate? Do you like that thing he's doing? You don't like it, right? But you will get home and help him to get into his room. Probably give him some warm drink. Probably give him some food or help him into his bed at least. That's love. Right? So, we must understand and be deliberate about things we do together. We must choose to pray together. Attend fellowship together, church together. I said this very quickly and early because these are the fundamental truths of the things that keep us together and help us to avoid crisis. Praying together gives us a mysterious binding strength. A family that prays together does what? Stay together. Alright? A prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian. So you see how it becomes easier for you to obey the Lord and walk in his steps when you are a very prayerful person. And how do you learn to pray? How do you learn how to pray? By staying in the place of prayer. The longer you stay before God, the more you learn how to pray aright. Attend fellowships together. It's not correct. When two people are married, and one says, I want to go to this, I'm of this persuasion, I'm of that persuasion. It cannot work. That will even be a big crack already at the foundation of humanity, you must agree. Either the two of you are going to the husband's church, the wife's church, or you choose another church that you have agreed. Usually, I would expect that there should be no temptation concerning going to the husband's church, because God gave leadership to Adam, and he did it in a very beautiful way. The scripture shows that even before Adam Eve came into Adam's life, God already taught Adam leadership. Everything he created, everything God made, God brought them to Adam. And any name Adam gave, you know, those things, that was the name. To show you how perfect the mind of God was already in the heart of man that God created before sin came in. So whatever man said, God agreed. He didn't say, hey, why are you calling this one? This should be called cow. That one should be called snake. No, God's scripture. So when Eve came, as far as I know, so just enter, just move along with the flowing trend. And I believe that was what happened at the beginning until sin came. And sin came because Eve allowed herself to have a conversation, or necessary conversation with the devil. She went and found a place that was ungodly and was deceived. Now, we need to attend fellowship together and church prayer. This is very important. You know why? When you and your spouse are attending the same fellowship together, you'll be telling the same things. You'll be receiving the same challenges. You'll be growing together. When we go for fellowship together, my husband and I, we are coming back, we are discussing the things we had. Right? Sometimes we are, before we go, we are praying for the speaker together. So how will you not grow together? It's so important that we must find these very fundamental, critical ways of growing together. When we are being pulled together, we find that Christ is difficult to precipitate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I also insist that we should have business sessions together to deliberate over family matters regularly. Alright? And this will help us to avoid problems, because you have already discussed the matters ahead of time and decided what to do or what to put in place in case, you know, some crisis appears to, you know, appears. Okay? Now, what do I mean by business times together? Whether you like it or not, family is a business. And if we do not handle family seriously, we will fail. I don't know if you ever see a man who has a company and his workers, you know, are supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock and he is just strolling in at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, or 1 o'clock. If you want that place to work, you should be there before your employees. Right? So that they can have a good example. And you look into the affairs of your company. You take time, you sit down, you study it, you have meetings, you meet the various people, the various leaders of the various sectors, and make sure that they have the instruments or they have the materials to make their own bit work well. And you want to see to it that all the various departments of your company are working such that the various efforts will bring a wholesome positive effect. Marriage, family, is business. If you don't give it attention and give it time, it will crack. There will be crisis. So be very, very conscious and deliberately put in place a regular time of meeting. Maybe once a month, once in 3 months, once in 6 months, once a year, but usually make it a few months. But when you are just married, make it monthly. Alright? You can check every area of your life together and see how you are faring. I have what I call the marriage scheme. I brought a few copies that will go around everybody, you know, here. And it's an example of what you can use. You can use that, you can even modify it to suit your own, you know, your own as you want it, and then go over it. Just take your time out. If you like, go to a garden, go to a restaurant, if you like, lock yourself in your bedroom and just have your quiet time together, look at the food, discuss it, and very, very certain people will help you. I've had people who have used this money scheme and have reported to me that it helped them a lot. So, by the time you do some things and you work transparently, honestly, submission to each other, respect, love, humble yourself, all right, with self-control and faithfulness, and working against selfishness, hot temper, quick temper, abuses the word, and bad attitudes, by the time you take time to address these things and reject them and refuse them, you will find that you are running, you know, on a very, very beautiful, you know, weather in your marriage. Now, if you look at Colossians chapter 3, all right, Colossians chapter 3, I believe, is one of the most beautiful chapters of scripture. We don't have all the time to read it. But in that chapter, the Bible talks of us putting off what? Anger, isn't it? Selfishness, you know, quarrel, pride, and all that. Things we must put off. Okay? Things we must put off. And it's a deliberate thing. Okay? It's deliberate. What you must put off is deliberate. Nobody's coming to do it for you. Don't ask the Holy Spirit, come and do it for me. The Lord is saying, put off anger. You know, put off pride. And so on. And then again, he tells us, put on. Alright? Put on love. Put on concern for one another. Alright? Walk in meekness. Walk in humility. We are to put off and to put off, even in your Christian marriage. Because there is no place where your Christianity is tested like marriage. No place. No place. You are locked in with this person whom you see with something you look like every day of your life. And it doesn't look sometimes as if there's an end to that thing that irritates you. So what do you do? When you do not see somebody changing, even after you have asked, you have talked and talked, complained and complained, begged and begged, what do? You begin to trust God to change. Because when you do the changing, you are a happier person and you are a stronger Christian. Praise the Lord. You must choose to maintain a period of personal devotion, quiet time alone with God on a regular daily basis. When the Lord taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? He said, give us our daily bread. He didn't say, give me my monthly bread or my weekly bread. He said, daily. So what does that teach us? We expect to receive daily provisions for every area of our life from the Lord God Almighty. And God expects that we will come to him as children, knowing that he's a faithful father who will not deny us good things and give us the bread that we need for the day. Pray. Pray. Stay in the quiet. Don't rush out of the quiet place. That is where you are going to get the strength to be the person God wants you to be and also to overcome and to win in the time of crisis. I want to tell you, most of the problems we have that don't seem to abate at all among Christian couples is because of prayerlessness. And even if they seem to be praying, how many of us are listening to God? How many of us are listening to hear what God is saying about the matter? How many of us are quiet enough to hear our own faults and not the fault of our spouse? May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We must avoid crisis. Because when there are crises, right, you cannot go forward, you cannot be useful in God's hand. You'll be wasting time. But God's purpose for bringing you together is so that you will occupy. Hallelujah. Amen. So that you will multiply. So that you will replenish. So that you will take care of the earth. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, it says that the whole creature, you know, earth, okay, they wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. A lot of things are tied to your destiny. Lives of men women, children, many things, even in government, some things in government, in your communities, may touch your life without you knowing. And if you are correct with God, if your marriage is correct, you will be surprised at the many blessings that come to people around you. Some you may not even know until people get to tell you about certain things. Then you begin to see the goodness of God that has come upon you and is beginning to speak to other people's lives. So there's no shortcut in this matter. It's either you take your devotional time seriously as a husband and wife so that you can hear from God personally, praying for your spouse, right? And hearing from God for your spouse. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then, when you are ready to do that, by the grace of God, you are ready to make progress. You are ready to put crisis, you know, at bay. Alright. Now, there was a man called Walter Trubbish who wrote a book. And in that book, was a trial, he made, you know, the sketch of a triangle. At the top of the triangle, right, is God. And at one end of the triangle is the woman, at the other end of the triangle is the man. Now, you can just imagine it. All of us know what a triangle is. Alright? Three-sided, you know, figure. God at the top. As the woman makes the effort to move closer to God, the man also makes effort to move closer to God. What happens between, you know, what happens about the distance between
them? They'll be getting closer.
It's getting closer and closer and closer to God. So you see why individual quest for God is so critical to binding marriage. Individual effort to be like God, to represent God, to love the Lord, to worship Him is so critical to success in marriage. Let's not forget this. Let woman not sit down and say, ah, my husband doesn't want us to go, we pray after the head of us. No. It's your responsibility, it's your business. Let man not say, well, when I come for prayer, she doesn't come, to rather be watching him, to rather be talking on the phone, no pray. You cannot allow that. Pray for one another. Wish each other well. Then seek after God. And the reward is that God will give you a closer relationship with yourselves and with Him. So, I want to also suggest, choose to have some ground rules in your home. This helps self-control and discipline in times of crisis. Have ground rules. What do I mean by ground rules? Some basic things you will do and you are not going to, you know, change them. You agree, discuss them. You know, when you go for workshops, before you actually start the workshop, the leaders will often put up and say that, let's have ground rules. Right? Now, ground rules are just rules or regulations that will bind every team member. Once we do that, then we'll be able to move on, you know, and have a happy time together. Ground rules, for example, in marriage, no shouting at each other. Don't shout. Just agree from the beginning of the marriage that we will not shout. No matter how hot and angry I am, I will not shout. The second example is talk over any matter before you sleep. If you are not happy or offended about any matter, do not sleep until you have talked over that matter. And even if you are not able to resolve it, at least you've talked about it. And then you pray about it. Because even if that matter is not resolved, and you are still waiting, God understands. God sees the motives in your heart. That though you have not finished resolving it, you are not quitting. Both of you still want to forge ahead and get a solution. So talk over every matter that is a problem before you sleep. Hug first thing in the morning. I have a beautiful daughter in the Lord who tells me that when both of them are getting out of bed in the morning, they don't even talk. They just hold each other and call each other the morning. That's just one of the other ground rules. Amen. Then another ground rule will be pray before talking about any matter. to talk to your husband about the matter, pray. Talk to God about it first. Then, when you want to talk to him, insist that both of you should pray first. Because when you pray, you are inviting the Holy Spirit to come and be chairman of that meeting. And any meeting where Holy Ghost is chairman must be a successful meeting. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Check out. It's not too late in the marriage. It's not too late in your relationship to develop ground rules. It will go a long way to help you. Next, understand the love language of your spouse and respond positively to it. Somebody has described that there are about five types of love languages, like touch. Some people like to touch, When you touch them, that means anything. Ah, you feel very happy. Alright? Some people like gifts. Once you give them gifts, I think most of you like that. Hallelujah. Gifts. You know, you like gifts. And some people like, just word of affirmation. You know, you say something good to them all the time. Hey girl, right? And oh my baby, you are just the best in the world. Or you say my husband, you're my king. You are my king, you're my crown. You know, that kind of a thing. You say things that one day I was in my brother's house in Lagos. And his wife was coming for war. I didn't even know she was arriving. She came, I think somebody dropped her at the gate and he was looking into the compound. And my brother just went to the curtain and he started talking to her, saying, hey babe, hey, hey. And he was just hitting her. I was just looking, I've never seen them with that kind of thing. And she was just laughing and walking and coming and just, hey, bye, people, I left and walk into the house. I love the two of them. They know how to do it very well. Now, the other one is acts of love. When you do things that you don't have to brag to your spouse that you are doing it, just, like cleaning after your spouse. Some people are messing with the toilets. And even if you tell them to tomorrow, they will still be doing what they are doing. Instead of complaining and complaining, just keep cleaning after them. Right? And it's some men or some women, to keep the bedroom clean, it's a problem. Go ahead and clean after them. Do something that you don't have to even tell them, but they will see it eventually that you have done something for them. Amen. Acts of love. Very important. So, which one is your spouse's love language? Okay? Which one? You will need to find out. But if you don't talk, you don't discuss, you will not find out. Maybe somebody may not even know. But after you are discussing with that person, after some time, the person may begin to know, oh, okay, this is my love language, this is my love language. You see, for me, if my husband listens to me, my goodness, I feel a lot of emotion. If I want to tell him anything, I'm not the kind of person who talks plenty all the time. But any time I want his ears, if I can have his ears, my God, I feel so good. I feel loved and I feel very happy. Right? Okay? I don't mind gifts also, in case he gets to hear this, but if he listens to me, I love it. So how do you manage crisis? Now, we've been talking about them anyway, but just a few direct things about it. Who can manage crisis? Alright? I wrote here, I said, you could have crisis and not crash. You may have crisis, but you do not have to crash. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, live with a mindset that you and your spouse are not perfect. And that will help you to make room for offenses. I mentioned earlier about unconditional love. Now, coming around to it again. Okay? You can manage it. You don't have to get into crash. You don't have to crash when you know that this person is not perfect. Right, and you make room in your heart. See, to accommodate is different from tolerate. Tolerate is more negative than positive. When you say accommodate, it means you make more room. You allow the person be. Alright? But when you tolerate, you are sitting, and you come out. You make such words, you behave, you carry attitudes that are not very, welcoming. So, make room in your heart. God has not and will not give up on you, no matter how bad the situation. What came to my mind was Isaiah 18, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, where it says that, you know, God says, come, let us reason together. No matter how bad your sin will be, as dark as crimson, will make it as white as wool, as dark and red like blood, will make it as white as dark. God will not give you up. So, realize that. See, that is why you know the word of God says, if God will not give you up, don't give up on your marriage. Alright? That is the way out. Praise God. The first Corinthians, the teachers of that life. Every tension, there is a way out. So when crisis comes, ask God, what is the way out of this matter? What is the way out of this matter? And God, in His mercy, will show you. Because God will bless you. God loves. God restores. Amen. The Bible says that He makes me to walk beside the still waters. And He does what? He restores my soul. God does that because there are problems all the time. We walk around this earth everywhere we go. People carry nonsense baggage around. And you are likely to get hurt, misunderstood. Alright? So, remember, live with the mindset that there is a way out of every problem and God will help you. Live with the mindset that we get separation and divorce. Put it off your vocabulary. Nowadays, oh my goodness, I hear of God so often. I just remember from God. He said that we cannot be patient anymore. We cannot tolerate. Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Self-control. Alright? And endurance. Endurance means that you don't give up. You are patient. You allow the matter even for a longer time than maybe people normally accept it. And you wait for a solution. And praise the Lord. I think it's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, I think it's right now, where it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall grow. They will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will roar and not be beaten. They will walk and not be faint. They that wait. Waiting is not an easy thing. And in marriage, you must learn to wait. You must learn to wait. Some of those things you are seeing in your spouse that you don't like, then God has allowed them for a purpose of building something great and positive out of your life. Not that He is happy about the situation, or that He's happy that you are happy to go through, but we have to learn the ways of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus led to Peter through the things He suffered. You will suffer in marriage, but put that suffering in quotes, is good suffering. It's good for you. There are things I went through in my marriage. I know some women, my own Christian women, are told certain things, certain challenges I went through in my own marriage, and they will cry. Some people be telling me of their own problems. When I start telling them my own problems in that area, I said, the fact is almost as if you say, okay, don't talk anymore. But I'm happy. I'm overcome. I'm still in my marriage. Yes, amen. The years ahead, they are, for as far as I'm concerned, they are surmountable. Hallelujah. Because when I look back at the mountains and the hills and the valleys we have crossed, I have every reason to know that what is left ahead is possible. Because I have tasted the grace of God. I have tasted the faithfulness of God. I have tasted the mercy of God upon my whole life. And I have seen that God is good. And He comes to those that wait for Him. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up. Live with a mindset that you can be a success through Christ who strengthens you. You can look at Philippians 4:13 and Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. If you hold on to Him, you will rise in the first so we shall smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we shall smile at the storm. As we go sailing home. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when there is a serious problem, it is not the time to shout and scatter the whole place and make your neighbors wonder whether you are Christians. Because let them not hear you speaking tongues in the midnight and during the daytime. They are starting to talk. That's why there's no testimony. Don't just tell us. Because invariably you're telling us. Alright? That God, you're going to come in that prayer that they're telling you. He is powerless, you know, and in helping you concerning your mortal, you know, disagreements. God is good, he will be merciful to you. You will change, and though they laugh at you, they make jest. When they even see your changes, it will help them also to begin to address their own problems. God who did it for them, he will also do it for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, those people in the ship, in Jonah, you know, even though Jonah, after Jonah told them that he is the cause of the Wahala, you know, those people make sacrifices to God, because they didn't even know, you know, those people got converted without even the help of Jonah. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so let's quickly look at some few areas of crisis. I call forth the money. Money matters, as we say in some, you know, places. Money matters. Finances, one of the biggest areas of crisis. Right? Finances. But we must learn to be transparent about money. If we are one, we are one. Think of it before you got married. You wouldn't sleep without thinking about this person. You are waking up and thinking when the first call will come and you people will talk. You love each other so much, you couldn't get it without each other. They were joining the two of them and looking at each other's eyes. It didn't look like any problem would ever arise to cause you to be angry. And then you get into marriage. And then problems come. One of the biggest challenges is the use of money. We must start with transparency. What are our sources of income? And then let's bring them onto the table and then let's have a good discussion as to how we will spend our money. Now, this oneness, as far as I'm concerned, oneness is a principle. It does not mean that every money, you know, will be in one account. It's transparency that makes oneness. Amen. So, it's fine, it's ideal. Can put all the money in one account and manage it well, fine. But if you can put even 10 accounts, but all of you are well informed about who is handling what, how are you handling what, no problem. Is that right? No problem. It's a principle. But then you should. It's a fear that sometimes is going to make people feel that everything will be in one account. And when you put something, for my husband and I tried having one bank. When we started work early in life, then one day in Kaduna, that bank was on strike. That time, my husband said, as soon as they opened that station, school of, as you go to William Bank, he said, where he stood. All right? And then when we did that, he said, okay, then we take one account in any of the banks now and pull our joint, you know, savings together. So for me, sit down and talk about what works for me. What works for couple A may not work for couple B. Right? Don't be picking things and then it was facing this one. No, sit down, listen to each other. Alright? And by the grace of God, if you get better and better as you try to talk to each other. So please build trust as far as money is concerned. Some men are so afraid they don't want to tell their wives what they think. Because they believe that, wow, you do that, that's the end of the money. Actually, so women cannot think that there's money and then they will not be buying that purple color of that yellow shoe they have. They are not bought it. I think they have green and yellow and red. They are not bought it now. They will not buy it. And it is not only the women, sometimes the men, cleanliness. You know, we have some very sincere friends, who have told me, they men, is it the woman who the woman? They give their money. I can come from any country I know that they, it's the woman that opens the money. I'm good for them. And I have not, unfortunately, all these women involved in this ministry are very responsible women. People that have built houses from savings they have had together with them, joint, we've done many things, good things, together. So it is very, very important that we are transparent and bring everything to the table and we can talk very clearly to each other and let build trust. It does not matter who brings what to the table. It should not matter if the concept of oneness is understood and respected. It doesn't matter. The wife can be in putting on high-flying job and she's earning millions a month. And you were not respectable office in air condition, but you're only getting a few hundreds. It doesn't matter now, right? It doesn't matter. The important thing is that we are together. Amen. Amen. Then manage your budget. I said this with a lot of concern. As I was writing this thing, I said, are you able to manage the budget with? Especially when it comes to this consumable. Important to normally help you to be disciplined so that you don't go out too much. If you budgeted for maybe a tin of rice, and you put maybe 15,000. But by the time you're ready to go and buy it, it is less than 2,500. So what do you need? So you have to have a space called miscellaneous.
Yes.
You have to have an extra money put to shock in and help the budget to be visible and practical. So a budget will guide you. It's always very good. When the budget guides you, you are able to bring the reports to the table clear how you handle the money. And then spontaneously talk to each other about your spendings and how you are going with finances. It really helps. When we have things to hide, that's where problems come. And there's a lot of suspicion, which is not good for us. We need to pray over our finances all the time. The next area of crisis is sex. God will make sex. Hallelujah. Sex is holy, sex is pure, sex is good. As long as it is enjoyed by the husband and the wife. Sex before and outside marriage is a sin. I saw on social media recently one so-called man of God who was insisting that as long as two people have agreed to marry, they should go ahead and have sex. That all this preaching about you should not sleep together before you marry, you must just impact. I couldn't switch that table because that is contrary to scripture. And the Bible tells us that in the last days we're going to be all kinds of things. All those terrible anti-godly matters that will come, even by so-called men of God. But God will judge. So, sex is good and God ordained and should be enjoyed. It is for the enjoyment that enhances bonding and the procreation. In spite of differences in sexuality, sex should be regular and frequent. It oils the engine of our emotions towards each other. I don't have all the time to talk, but please, there is no room to deny yourself sex except for in help. The scriptures tell us that, except what you fast, and what buys in an agreement. It's an agreement. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to fast and your spouse says, no, you don't do this or fasting, me, I want, please go ahead. Nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. Alright? I don't see anything that is contrary to godliness in that. Because abstinence between husband and wife should be an agreement. So if your wife or your husband say, well, go ahead with your 100 days fasting, but I can't fast this matter to that time, please give it to me when you want it. Continue with your fast by the grace of God. So night or day makes sex possible. Go to bed every night ready. As young women, we were taught that we should not go to bed with our hearts, because we must be ready anytime our husbands want us. Knowing that the kind of time in which most of us were brought up was such that you, the woman, don't make the advance with the man that makes, you know, that initiates sex. But it's not necessarily like that. Even the scripture says that the body of the man belongs to the wife, and that of the wife also belongs to the man, letting us know that both parties can initiate sex. Let's not threaten each other with sex. It's wrong and it's evil. Don't threaten your spouse to get sex or with, you know, withdraw from sex. So women will insist that if their husbands don't buy certain things for them, do certain things, they never put in place. It's wrong. It's wrong. You just have to make up your mind that the word of God is what you will do. That's it. And when you obey it, you are blessed. I have a very lovely sister. I've had her say this thing about twice in public speaking. And she said, sometimes when she wants to, you know, she wants agreement between herself and her husband, it is when they are together, their bodies are together, physically, during sex, that she will tell the husband that she just go to put, that she wants to put, and then she will pray over some things. And she told us of how fruitful, you know, those prayers have been. So again, it is a level where you can take your relationship, your sexual relationship, to make sex possible anytime. Go to bed ready, that you can have each other. And like I said, it doesn't have to be night. Even though night is the most relaxing time, all problems, troubles, doctors, you know, you are relaxed, you're bedroom. And you want to have a very beautiful sleep, and you say, wow, I want to just send you to sleep now, right? Now be thankful to one another. I also learned as a young woman to say thank you. Alright? And we learned to say thank you to each other. It's beautiful. You are relaxing your sexual relationship, and you're saying thank you, you know, and it's wonderful. Because you need to say thank you to your spouse, because he made you feel good, or she has given you something that will make you feel, you know, good. Alright, I'll leave it at that. Okay, one other thing I think I should say before I leave that is that sometimes the problem about not being fulfilled sexually and crisis now, because people don't know what to do. Please, you need to open up and learn how to have successful sexual relationship. You can pick books and read, but please don't do pornography. Pornography has an evil spirit. It's not good. I had a sister one day talk that, you know, she, you know, went with pornography because she needed to learn how to really have it in a way that will make them happy, you know, and have to enjoy it. It's not correct. There's just something not quite correct with that. But there are Christian books that are very practical, all right, about sexual activities. And I believe that if you can go to the bookshops and find them, or find, you know, some other couples that you can talk with. Unfortunately, many older couples will not even tell me much. Will not tell me much, but I'm very certain that you will be able to find one song that can help you or get close. There's this book, Sexual Happiness in Marriage, by, can't remember the name now, but Sexual Happiness, if you Google it, Sexual Happiness in Marriage, you'll be able to see. It's a good book, and I've given it to several people. And it has been very, very helpful. The next areas of crisis is communication. Alright, communication. Can I have your handset? There's something I want to just read out from my handset. Can I have it? Now, communication holds the key to a successful relationship. Alright, in communication, we have information, understanding, and response. And it is very, very important. So why he gets that from me? Because there's a passage and something I read today that I felt I want to, you know, share with you. From James chapter 1, verse 19. Now, good communication, all right, demands that we should be very, very, you know, conscious to our spouse. Don't take yourself for granted and talk anyhow to your spouse. We should be able to say good, kind words like, please, can you help me with that? Please, can you do that for me? I'm sorry, I hurt you. Thank you, you were so good to me. That was really very kind of you. Can you forgive me? I offended you. I appreciate you. I love you. You are too much, you know, so on and so forth. Say those words very often. Be generous with such words. And I'm very certain that, you know, you will appreciate each other. Be polite the way you talk to your spouse. Some of us are so, we take ourselves for granted so much that we just talk anyhow to our spouse. No. You see, you have ladies in your office. You dare not talk to them the way you talk to your wife sometimes. And some of us women, the way we talk to our husband disrespectfully, we will never do it to your colleagues at work or to your boss. Now I'm going to read what I said I want to read out. To go. It says, when you feel angry, right? When you feel angry. From James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. The Bible gives us three keys to handling our anger the right way. Let's look at each one and see what we can learn. One, be quick to listen. Don't react and don't rush to judgment. Slow down and try to get the facts. Then prayerfully and carefully consider how God wants you to respond. Two, slow to speak. If you are unsure or you don't know just what to say, there is an old Chinese proverb that says, it's better to say nothing and appear to be a fool than to open your mouth and confirm it. You need to be in control or to look like you have all the answers. Okay, sorry. Your need to be in control or to look like you have all the answers can come back to bite you. What you don't say, you won't have to explain or apologize for later. The third thing, slow to get angry. Note, the Bible doesn't say that you should never get angry. It says you should get angry about the right things in the right way at the right time. Solomon says, control your temper, for anger labels you as a fool. Praise the Lord. So, communication is very important. Let's learn to speak good to one another. Be conscious, be kind, and also celebrate each other with the things we say to each other. And let us avoid shouting. Let us avoid harshness. Let us avoid rudeness. These spoil good communication. You can look at Galatians 5:22-26, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Pray these into your life. Believe the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that is it. Now, the other areas that we can have crisis, I'll just quickly mention them. The areas of in-laws. In Africa, you can't run away from the, you know, matter of in-laws. They are around you almost all the time. But our in-laws, for us Christians, should not be, you know, they should not be outlaws. Let's not see them as evil. Oh, people have come to spoil our relationship, particularly, you know, your spouse. If you're looking at your own relatives, like, oh, they have come with their problems, they have come with their, you know, their issues. You know. We should see these in-laws as people that need Christ, particularly when they are not born again. And even when they are born again, let us see it as responsibility to live a Christ-like life in their midst, to encourage them to be Christians. Don't allow more than you can bite right, unto your home, and be very, very alert. Be respectful to your neighbors. Be respectful. Don't be suspicious, but be alert. Show concern and give what you can. And let your words match your actions. Alright? Let your words match your actions. And for the men, please, be careful that you don't allow your mother to come into your home and be a dictator to your wife. Alright? I watched something on social media the other day, and it was even, I think, in the US. The mother insisted she was going to sit in front of the car with her son. It was fight. The woman came and insisted that she was going to sit there by her husband. The mother said no, she was going to sit there. You know? And the husband came and begging the wife to please take it easy and things like that. It was like, well, take your stand. You are the man of the house, right? You need to be careful. Some demands, some in-laws put on their son's in-law, it's just outrageous. Right? Your son-in-law cannot just come into your life and come and solve all your problems. They were there before you became your son-in-law. Right? So trust the Lord. But God will grant you wisdom as you pray about it. We don't have time to talk so much about it. Alright, then discipline of children. Due to our different backgrounds, alright, we will sometimes have differences and crises in the way we bring up our children. But I want to say that the basic thing is that we should use the word of God daily. Pray together for them, our children, and with them. Handling the needs of children will sometimes cause crises. Alright, let us not give the impression as if mommy loves us more than daddy. Or that is the one that always buy ice cream and buy yogurt. Mommy will never buy. When you tell mommy she doesn't have money, all the time mommy doesn't have money. You know, then when the two of you get that, you want to allow it to precipitate crisis. You know, it could be much more serious issues than just that what I mentioned. But we need to make time to discuss every aspect of our children's needs and work towards achieving it. Don't allow children matters to separate you. Right now, my husband and I have been alone together without any child in our midst for probably almost like almost 15 years, more than 10 years, that our last one left home. She's 35 years, our last one. So you can see how many more years we are going to live together with the grace of God. Okay, so if while the children were there, you allow them to possibly meet the people and the spouse, they will soon go and disappear. Then it will remain you and your spouse. Then you become and become stranger to each other and start learning how to love again, or you begin to see each other. I didn't know you were this kind before. I didn't know you were gentle. You know, things like that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so I want to say that. Having said all these things, I want us to remember that the devil is hell-bent to spoil marriages and destroy us. Whatever God wants, that is what the devil wants. God is fair marriage. It is for him, it is for his pleasure, it is for his glory. Alright? But the devil will fight it. And that is one institution the devil wants to fight. But praise God. The Bible tells us that though one will chase 1,000, two will chase how many? 10,000. So you see, that is one of the things. The power in agreement, in the couple. The two of you will chase 10,000. Who is the power? Where is that if? Where is that demon that can stand two people who are agreed in the spirit to face, you know, the challenge? Tell me the name of that demon. So, but be conscious of it, that the devil hates you just that you are married. Even if it is not a Christian marriage generally, the devil wants to spoil it. But praise the Lord that we are more than conquerors in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Now, I just want to also say this before I now go. There is a place for a third party in crisis. And this place becomes critical when both of you are not hearing each other. No matter how you talk, just don't hear each other. You must initiate a third party. In respect, somebody both of you respect. You be your pastor, your marriage counselor, you can end up people in town. And with that, I want to quickly say, we in our chapel, we now put in place mentors for the independent couple. Every couple who went to the chapel, right, we hand them over to a mature couple to mentor them. And they will give regular reports to the chapel, alright? And for as long as you can. Okay, so at least the first 1 year, you want to know that they are not having issues, they are fine. We are not proposing, we are not going to see that you tell us what you don't want to tell us, but we want to know that you are doing fine, and we pray with you. Hallelujah. So please let us not ignore the basic importance. This idea that no, our problems between us, we're not telling anybody. So people can't bring us this time. This person will be married for 10 years. No, but there are these problems that are killing them. They're just because they want to come and show off testimony, they will say some truth and acknowledge. Instead of dying in silence, speak up. I'm not saying jump from house to house, tell everybody in the fellowship or in the church of your problems. No. What I'm saying is that look carefully and trust God. Choose a family that you can say, with this family, my young family will interact, and if we are not too sure about something, we will put it and tell them and help us. Now, we need to evaluate the outcome of your crisis. Have you learned anything? Anytime you have crisis, and God helps you to overcome, and you see peace return, please settle down quickly and ask each other what have you learned from this. When you are able to, know what you have learned, you will find out that you need to go far. Because the government cannot come and keep you off easily. So finally, I want to implore us as husband and wife, parents and children, alright, and this admonition for you to go in our hearts, that we ask the Lord to take his place, and that we find time to be with him, and that we put off those things that are not holy, the anger, the selfishness, the quarrelsomeness, and everything that doesn't work for our togetherness, and put on the Lord, which is the God of perfection in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord will help us, and the Spirit of Christ is far from our homes in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can we bow our heads in prayer? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise your name because we know that you are fathers. We know everyone that is here. We ask the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus that we will not have had in vain, but that Lord will be blessed as we go, tuning and meditating in your word, and that every one of us will profit. Every one of us will be eternally blessed. For the things we have had to do in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless you because we know your marvelous people. And we love you, help us, O God, and we know the purpose for our lives are fulfilled in the name of Jesus.